Well, last week we took a little break from Ephesians as we had the district supervisor of the greater Los Angeles area of Foursquare churches here in our church. The district supervisor of the greater Los Angeles area. It was an amazing thing. Now, partly it's my brother-in-law, and that's how I was able to get him to come and speak here. But if you weren't here, Pastor Tim Clark, who is the district supervisor down in L.A., he gave what I believe a very timely and I really believe a prophetic word from the Lord for our church. And I would encourage you, if you weren't here, I would encourage you to go online. You can go online, dallas4.com, click on the sermons, and you can find and listen to his message. Because I really believe it was a powerful, timely, prophetic word for us as a church. And I would encourage you to listen to that and just soak in what he says. Because it was just encouraging. It was awesome for me to just sit here as part of the congregation and hear him speak these things of what I've really felt that God is doing in this body and in this community and what he wants to do in our lives. And so I encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to hear that, to listen to it online. But this week we're going to jump back into our In the Light series, as we've been walking through our series titled In the Light, and we're going to jump back into that. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians 4, once again. But I can safely say that this will be the last time I start off by saying open to Ephesians 4, because we are actually going to finish up chapter 4 this morning, okay? After 9 weeks in chapter 4, 9 weeks to walk through chapter 4, we're finally coming to an end. You can all say, yay, right? Yay! We're finally finishing one of the chapters. You know, it's funny, my brother-in-law last week, he spoke on one whole chapter in 1 week. And it's taken us 9 weeks just to get through chapter 4 of Ephesians. So I feel a little insecure right now following him, the district supervisor of Los Angeles, who loved our carpet so much. I noticed how he talked about that so much last week. So maybe I need to call the Los Angeles district and ask if they want to help donate for new carpet. I don't know. But it was a good time. So we're going to be jumping now next week into Ephesians 5, but let me just tell you, it doesn't lighten up, all right? It just keeps, Paul keeps bringing those things to us that we need to put off. He keeps showing us those areas that we need to deal with and get rid of, and he keeps bringing us into the light, as we even talked about earlier, that bringing us into the light so that he can expose those things so that we can deal with them and get rid of them. So once again, we're going to look at what Paul is encouraging us to get rid of, right? So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me in Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. And this is what it says. It says, right off the bat, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Once again, Paul lays out a list of things here that we need to look at and that we really need to ask ourselves. Is this something that we struggle with? Is this an area of our life that needs to be exposed? Is this an area of our life that we need to give to him? Because if they are, if these things are that we find are present in our lives, then we need to put them off. We need to do what he says, and we need to get rid of them. If you were here a couple weeks ago, in verse 30, which we looked at, Paul talked about grieving the Holy Spirit. He actually said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's these kind of things that we read here in verse 31 that do exactly that. These things, they grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was given to help us and to get rid of those things. But when we keep putting those things on, and when we keep taking those things on and keep living the things of the world, it grieves, and in a sense at times can almost paralyze the Holy Spirit from being able to do what it was intended to do in our lives. And so we need to get rid of these things. So let's take a look at there's four things in verse 31 that Paul tells us to get rid of. Okay? Number one, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness. Now, the word used here is actually pikria, okay? And the definition for this word is a long-standing resentment. Okay? A long-standing resentment. Our human nature has a way of wanting to hold on to things. Right? Am I the only one? Right? Okay, all of us. Right? Our human nature, we have a way of wanting to hold on to things. It's hard for us to let go of things, especially when we're right. And we're always right. Right, Gary? Yeah. We're always right. We've had this conversation before. We have a way of holding on to those resentments, to those hurts and pains that have been caused by others. And the thing is that resentment, if it's not dealt with, it turns into this bitterness. It turns into this bitterness inside of us. And whether we realize it or not, that bitterness affects us. You see, it affects our thoughts, and then it begins to affect our opinions, and it affects our actions, and ultimately it affects our lives. In my 15 years of youth ministry, I've had those times where people have come and responded to me harshly or had said hurtful things about me. You know, whether it's about how I did ministry or how I didn't treat their kids or how I did treat their kids apparently wrongly or whatever. I've had those times where people have come and they've said hurtful and harsh things towards me. But I'm glad I've had great leaders that have said to me often in some of those times, they said, Darren, don't put too much worry into what they said. They're just bitter. And when you think about that, don't put too much thought into what they said. They're just bitter. You see, when we harbor bitterness or resentment, we often think and process irrationally. And this is why Paul is telling us that we need to get rid of bitterness in our life. We need to release that resentment that we have, because it's going to affect our lives. You need to get rid of it, because the person that often it ends up hurting most is us. It hurts us. So we need to get rid of the bitterness in our lives. The second thing that Paul begins to talk about that we need to get rid of is, it says, get rid of rage and anger. And they kind of go hand in hand there, rage and anger. Two words that are grouped together, and basically they both refer to anger. But they do have two separate definitions. When you look these words up, the word for rage and the word for anger, you have two different things. The word for rage is a word thumos. And it's that quick, short-lived kind of temper. It's that where it rises up and it's just that quick boiling, but then it kind of can dissipate shortly after that. Okay, as quickly as it comes, it also can dissipate. But while the second word there is the Greek word orge, which is a habitual, continual anger that continues to rise up and burn in us. As I looked up that word translating from Greek to English, one of the definitions said an agitation of the soul. And I thought, wow, what a word there, an agitation of the soul, where, it's not this short-lived thing, it's something that continues to build and agitate us, and it's this anger that builds up inside of us. But whether it's, you know, that short-lived temper anger or that habitual anger that dwells and builds up in us, either way, we need to deal with it. Because here's the thing, as I process this, this thing about anger that I realize is the people that it often hurts the most is the ones we love. I want to share with you actually a quote I pulled off the internet. It says this, it says, the victims of anger are usually not the cause of it. They are merely the ones that are present and pose no threat, such as women, children, or people without power, the very people that we should protect. How often do my wife and kids get the brunt of my anger? How often do my family get my anger? Something is in me, I'm upset and I'm angry, and my wife walks in and says one thing and I bite her head off. Or my kids come asking for help and I'm like, Toby, Emma, just leave me alone, you know. They get the brunt of my anger when I'm not even angry at them. They didn't do anything. This is why We must do our best to put off rage and anger, because so often it hurts the ones we love. And the reality is, it hurts all people. But it often hurts the ones we love. And we need to, as Paul said, we need to get rid of it. We need to deal with it and process through it. The third thing that Paul says that we need to get rid of is we need to get rid of brawling and slander. Now, in some translations, the word clamor is used instead of brawling. And this word suggests actually more of a verbal violence. Now, when I think of brawling, you know, I think of, you know, let's go, let's, you know, mix it up. You know, I go back to the Marine Corps days of brawling, you know, the old Marine Corps brawl kind of thing. But here the word suggests more of verbal violence, like a shouting or a yelling, you know, that you know, coming at someone with your voice rather than the physical violence. And then slander is we know slander, you know, it's a word, it's where we tear people down, where we tear them down by speaking badly about them. And so, again, both of these words, brawling and slander, go back to where we were a couple weeks ago, of the mouth, of speaking, and the things that our tongue, and the things that we say. And I think the thing, again, we have to realize that we were created to love one another. Right? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. We were created to love one another and encourage one another. Not tear people down. Not say bad things about people. So when we're using our mouths in any other way, it's contrary to what the life of a Christian is all about. That when we're slandering, when we're brawling or yelling or being abusive to someone, it's not how God intended us to use our mouths. And if it's not what we're about, then we need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of bitterness. We need to get rid of rage and anger. We need to get rid of brawling and slander. And then the fourth thing that Paul says is that we need to get rid of every form of malice. And the Greek word used here for malice is kakia. And when I looked that up, there's many different definitions that translate. As a matter of fact, what I looked up was almost like a thesaurus, you know, of words that you could compare. And let me just pick a few of those words that I came out with, all right? So for this word, kakia, or for malice, evilness, wickedness, congealed hatred, okay? Are these all words? Aren't these words that you want to just say, okay, yeah, that's me. That's me. I've got that issue and I need to deal with it, right? None of us want to admit that these are things that we struggle with. But the thing I think is that a lot of times, the root cause of the other three that we talked about is this right here. It's the malice, it's the hatred, it's the evil, it's the wickedness that's built up inside of us. It's because of the inherent evil or wickedness or hatred that we haven't dealt with that we become bitter. We become angry, we begin to speak slander or yell at people. You see, we're born into our sinful nature. Our flesh desires the evil things of this world. But the great thing, Christ died. And it says that He conquered sin and death. And it's through our salvation and through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we can put off this evil. We can put off the wickedness. We can throw off the hatred and these, ultimately, what were chains of bondage. That now we can experience freedom through Christ. We can say no to the things of the flesh and yes to the things of the Lord, because these things of the flesh lead to bitterness, anger, rage. They lead to these things. Through the power of Jesus, we can throw off the old garments and begin to put on the new. And that's what Paul encourages us here now in verse 32. To throw these things off, because these things are of the world. These are things of how you were before you became Christians, before you became followers of Christ. Now, let's get rid of them. Let's move them. If there's things, these things are in your life, let's work at dealing with them. And now begin to put on these things. So Paul begins to tell us in verse 32 the things that we can put on in the place of these other things. And Paul says this. He says, put on kindness and compassion. Put on kindness and compassion. And the word used here for kindness is Christos. And the Greeks define this as one who thinks as much about his neighbor as he thinks about himself. Does that sound familiar at all? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Walking in kindness is learning to love our neighbor as ourself. And this is what Paul is saying here. Kindness and compassion shows love and a tender heart. The word compassion there, actually, when you break it down, is really a tender heart, a caring heart for people. So to love people and to have this caring heart for people, that's God's desire for our life. This is the life that God is calling us to. Yes, we were this, but now God's saying, now we can be this. And this is what I want you to do. And to begin to live these things out. Begin to walk in kindness and begin to walk in compassion. Put off bitterness. Put off the things that are hurtful to others and put on kindness and compassion. Paul then finishes out chapter 4 by telling us to put on forgiveness. This is the tough one. It is, if we're honest. This right here is the tough one. To put off forgiveness. Like I said earlier, we are people that like to hold on to things. We do. We like to hold on to things. We don't like to let things go. But that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is letting go. It's letting go of things that have hurt us or people that have hurt us. Letting go of things or people that have wronged us. Now, does that mean that whatever it was that happened to us, whatever they did to us, that was okay? No, it doesn't mean that. As a matter of fact, with our kids, I have, again, Toby and Emma, and they're perfect kids, and they never fight, and they get along so wonderfully all the time, and I'm just like, wow, you must have amazing parents that you get along so well. No. My kids are normal kids. They're like everyone else. They pick at each other. They fight. They get, you know, one minute they're getting along great, and the next minute they're tearing each other apart, you know? And so, from the very beginning, as Emma's getting old enough to kind of be a little person walking around doing stuff, and Toby's going and pushing her and pulling her hair, whatever, you know? I mean, whatever those things that little boys do, there's been those times where they hurt one another. And so, you know, like any good parent, we teach them that, Toby, you need to apologize to your sister, or Emma, you need to apologize to Toby. And so they do. I'm sorry, Toby, you know, or I'm sorry, Emma. And what's interesting is when they're young, you know what one of the first responses is that they say? They say, that's okay. But is it? He just yanked your hair out. Is that okay? It's not. It's not okay that you just did that. We don't want our kids to think that it's okay that you just did that. As long as you say sorry, it's okay. So we begin to teach our kids that you don't respond by saying it's okay. You respond by saying, I forgive you. I forgive you. By saying I forgive you, we're not saying what you did to me was okay. We're saying I'm willing to rise above what you did to me, and I'm willing to grant forgiveness. We're saying I'm willing to show grace and mercy to you in the same way that God did for me. Paul says it right here in the end of verse 32. It says, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. It's showing that grace and mercy in the same way. I think the thing that we have to realize is that learning to forgive can have just as much of an impact on us as it does the person that we're forgiving. Because when we learn to forgive, it keeps us from becoming bitter. It keeps us from hatred and malice and those things that begin to build up in us. It keeps us from getting angry. When we learn to forgive, it allows us to do exactly what Paul is telling us to do. It allows us to get rid of the things of the world and walk in the things of Christ. Amen? I want to finish with one last thing this morning. as I came to this scripture, and really, I tell you, forgiveness is one of those things that it jumped out at me, and it's a difficult thing at times to talk about. And I prayed. I just sat before the Lord with my Bible open and saying that scripture again, just as in Christ, God forgive you, just reading that. And I just began to pray, and I just was asking, Lord, what do you want me to say about forgiveness? You know, because there are so many different routes and ways that we can go. I talk about a 9-week series in Ephesians 4. We could do a whole series on forgiveness. I mean, we could open it up and we could dissect forgiveness because there's so many aspects to it. You know, I mean, you get into that, unless you forgive others, I won't forgive you, Christ says. You know, it's that whole thing. I mean, there's so many routes that you can go, but I just said, Lord, what do you want me to share this morning about forgiveness? And as I prayed and as I read that line, just as in Christ God forgave you, what began to just flood my mind were thoughts of people who maybe have been wronged or have been hurt in ways that seem almost unforgivable. People that have been hurt so badly that they wonder, could I ever really forgive that person? Even if I want to, I don't even know that I could do it. I mean, let's be honest. How many of you would ask the mom whose child was killed by a drunk driver to forgive the person that did it? You know, how do you ask the spouse whose husband or wife was viciously murdered to forgive the person who did it? How do you ask the child that's been abused their whole life to forgive the one who's been doing it? These are those kind of things that just seem, honestly, so unforgivable. And the truth is, for many people, they are. It is. It's so hard. So how do we forgive those people who have hurt us so deeply, who have scarred us in such damaging ways? And I'll be honest with you, the reality is, it's impossible for us to do it on our own. Because in the flesh, there is no way I'm going to forgive someone that's done that to me. But just as it was in Christ that God forgave you, it's in Christ and through Christ that we're able to forgive others. It all goes back to the scripture, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, that scripture is so abused. We use it for things like, I remember my pastor talking about his, he went to a Christian school, and his basketball team, the coach, you know, at halftime, come on, and he had the Bible open. We can do all things through Christ, his strength. Like, we can win this game. Like, God wants us to win this game, and we can do it through Christ. It's like, come on. We use that scripture so out of context. But this is one of those places where it comes into context. That something that seems like, how could I forgive someone that's hurt me in such a way? We can do all things through Christ, in Christ who strengthens us. Even forgive those who seem impossible to forgive. And here's why it's so important, because it's the act of forgiveness that true healing takes place. When we're wronged or hurt, it damages us, and it leaves us with wounds and scars. But I believe it's through that act of forgiveness that those wounds or scars begin to heal. As we give them to the Lord, He's able to bring healing to our life. It's through the act of forgiveness that we're able to experience freedom from bitterness, freedom from hatred, from anger, from the evil thoughts, from all those things we talked about in verse 31. It's through forgiveness that we get rid of the old and put on the new. I realized that as I read this, forgiveness is such an amazing thing from both spectrums. When we accept God's forgiveness for our sin and failures, it brings new and amazing life. And when we learn to give forgiveness in the way that Christ forgave us, it too brings new and amazing life. Let us pray that we can learn to put on forgiveness. That in Christ, we can forgive others in the way that He has forgiven us. As I prayed about this, I don't know what you've been through in this room. But even last night, as I just looked at my notes, I just felt like the Lord was telling me there's a lot of hurting people in this room that have been hurt and that have been scarred in ways that sometimes they even wonder, can I forgive? But I just want to encourage you that through the power of Christ, you can. And it's not about saying that what they did was okay. It's really about you experiencing the healing that God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants to do. And I believe in some of you this morning, He wants to begin that process. And I want to say this, it is a process. You can't expect just to overnight, okay, I'm just going to forget the person that's wronged me. No, it's a process of saying, Lord, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't even know that I want to do this, but I'm feeling that I'm supposed to do this. So I'm going to begin to go down that process, Lord, of how do I begin to forgive? How do I begin to let go of those things so that I can experience the life that you have in me? That I can experience this life of freedom and this life of wholeness that we receive through Christ. Amen? Let's pray, and we're going to just finish with a song after I pray.